Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to our Tefillah seminar, The Power of Prayer. Tonight is an exciting night as we begin one of the most fundamental Tefillos that we have, specifically in Psukei Dezimra, and that is the Tefillah of Ashrei. If you have a sitter with you, Ashrei in the Koran sitter can be found on page, Steve Kreinick when you need him, right? Can be found on page 73 and 72. So we're not going to go through every line in Ashrei this week. But Ashrei, as we pointed out, is one of the most fundamental. And as we pointed out, how do we know that it's one of the most fundamental? What's the rule we usually go with? Remember? The earlier that we found it quoted in our literature, so that is the that's how we know how significant it is. If something is quoted late in the 1600s, as accustomed to say, so then that'll be one of the first things we skip. But if something's quoted in the Talmud, it's in the Gemara already, or even in the Mishnayos, right? So then that's something that is, it's not going anywhere, right? Shmona Esrei. Kriya Shema is in the Torah, right? Saying Shema. But the obligation to say Shema is mentioned already in the Mishnah. So that already is obviously primary. The concept of Shmona Esrei is mentioned already in the Mishnayos. That is primary. So Ashrei isn't mentioned in the Mishnayos, but it is mentioned in the Gemara. And actually, there are two statements. Right now, I have in front of me the Tur, which is the Tur was written by, Tur means column. So if you ever want to know a little history of how the halacha we have, in a sense, the structure of halacha that we have is formulated. So we know that if one looks at Shulchan Aruch, right, from Rabbi Yosef Karo, so it's separated into four halakim, right, four chelke Shulchan Aruch, four sections. You have Orech Chaim, which deals with daily life, you know, the halachos of prayer and the halachos of brachos and the halachos of the Yamim Tovim, daily life. Then you have what's called Yoredeya, which deals with called Isser Veheter, things that are Usser and Mutter, has the halachos of Kashrus, family purity, the laws of conversion, Bris Milah, again, Shabbos is in Orech Chaim as well, the first section. Then you have Choshen Mishpat, which deals with monetary law. And then you have Evan HaEzer, which deals with marital law, marriage, divorce, etc. So those are the four sections. Where do they come from? Who decided that halacha is to be broken into four sections? Not look at the Mishnah. It's spread out in six sections, right? Six orders. The Gemara is 26 tractates. So I think 26. So you look at the Rambam, Maimonides, 14 books. You know, where do we have this four columns? So it was really called Rabbi Yaakov from the Tur. Tur means column. Why is he called the Tur? Because he made this concept of the four pillars, which are those four pillars that we mentioned. Who was Rabbi Yaakov Bala Turim? So he was actually, his name was Rabbi Yaakov ben Usher. Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Usher. And who was Usher? None other than the Rush, the famous Rush, one of the great Rishonim. And so he, his son, Rabbi Yaakov, put together this halachic work called the Tur, the Arba Turim, the four columns. And halacha is structured, and the Shulchan Aruch took that lead, and he actually, that's why we have the four columns today. So the Tur himself is one of the early Rishonim, and in his codified works, so he writes like this, B'tzarech lechavim, one needs to have a kavana, intense kavana, p'tehila ledavid, in the prayer Tehila ledavid. So what's the prayer Tehila ledavid? So if you look over here on page 73, you look at, right, the third line there, Tehila ledavid. So this psalm, if you notice, you know, again, if you just were to look at this whole psalm on 73 is the whole Ashrei. Now you have Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'Secha Odia Lukasela. That's from Tehillim Pei Dal, 74. Then you have Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav. That's Kuf Mem Dal, 144. And then the Tefillah Tehila ledavid starts with Tehila ledavid and goes Arum Mimcha until Shomer Hashem, Tehila Hashem Yidaber B'Berachem Azorishim Gachol Yolam Va'ed. That's all Kuf Mem Hei 145, which is interesting. And then the final pasuk, V'Anachnu Nevarech Ka Me'atav Yad Olam Halalukah, that's from 115. So there are four different chapters of Tehillim that are used in Ashrei. But again, we call it Ashrei, which is really a misnomer, because the tefillah itself, as it's talked about in the Gemara, in the Talmud, is called Tehila LeDavid. And we'll have to discuss why Tehila LeDavid is introduced by these psukim of Ashrei Yoshvei Ve'Secha Odia Luchasela and Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Elokav, and why it is concluded with "Vanachnu nevarach kamet tavet lav haluka." So again, just the first point of tonight is that the fact that we call it Ashrei is a little bit of a misnomer. It's really called Tehillah of David.
But isn't it also referred to as Ashrei?
So not in the Gemara.
No.
The Gemara only refers to it. In fact, the Torah, that's how we started. The Torah writes in Siman Nun Aleph Siv Zayin v'tzarch lachavein b'tehillah l'David. You need to have intense kavana for the part of Tehillah called Tehillah l'David. So b'chol yom, and now in brackets shalosh pamim, three times a day we say Ashrei. What are the three times? I don't know.
Shachar,
Mincha. Ah, right. That was a trick question. Mark out my trick question. So I wanted you to say Shachar, Mincha, Maariv, because that was the trick. But it's really twice in Shacharis, once in Mincha, once at the beginning of Shacharis during Pesukei Dezimra, once during the last part, the conclusion of davening in Uvalet Zion, Ashrei Uvalet Zion, and then the beginning of Ashrei. And then says the Tur, the Yoser Yechavein bePasuk. Now you have to have even more. You have to have Kavana for Ashrei. And say it three times a day. And you have to have even more kavana for one pasuk in Ashrei. And that is the pasuk of... Hey, stop that. So, posech... Okay. Posech es yodecha umazbia lechol chayretzom. So, v'yosel lecham pasuk posech es yodecha. Open... We'll translate it in a moment. Posech es yodecha she'ikr mashikavu lomer b'chol yom... Who bishvil also pasuk shemaskir bo shivcho shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu shemashgiach al kober Yosef. He says why do you have to have intense kavana during the pasuk of poseach es yadecha, which we'll translate again in just a minute, is because he says the tour. Now this is not 100%. Again, we'll have to discuss the gemara where he gets it from. I meant to bring out a gemara, but I didn't. But it's one of the reasons we say Ashrei every day, or three times a day, he says, b'chol yom, is because of this pasuk of a poseach es yadecha. Meaning, why was this psalm chosen? So one of the reasons we'll discuss in a second was because of poseach es yadecha. So the truth is that those are the two parts, lahalacha, of the tour. Again, we have, the tour tells us, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well, that one needs to say, Tehillah l'David, three times a day. Okay, right? And you have to have kavana for it. And one who does this is muftach lo shu ben olam haba. Can be assured that they receive a portion in the world to come. Now, we'll have to get to that. It's a funny statement for a number of reasons. And we'll get to that in a second. And number two is that one needs to have kavana for poseach es yadecha. Number three and number four that we have to focus on, and maybe we'll start with really three and four, is why do we start with Ashrei? And why do we conclude with Tehillah l'David? Okay, so let's start with that. Okay, so why do we start with the words Ashrei? Any thoughts? Again, if it's called Tehillah l'David, and it seems like a very, very nice psalm, so let's just say Kuf Mem Hey. Why do we start with the words Ashrei? Yoshevei Ve'Secha, which means translated as happy or fortunate are those who dwell in your house. They shall continue to praise you, Selah. And then happy are the people for whom this is so. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Why should we start Ashrei with that?
We should have a sense of happiness and satisfaction.
Okay, but why here? Maybe we should start.
Because we're thanking God for all the things that we get. And when we say Kudach HaShidecha, it's...
Okay. So...
We should, at the beginning of davening...
It's a mindset.
Say, at the beginning of davening, we say we should happy. We should be satisfied with our lot.
Right.
So here we're saying happy all we are, that we're getting,
So you're saying it's a mindset thing. Yeah, we're trying to get so very good. So there are a couple of actually approaches to this. Number one is brought down by the really it's already mentioned in the I think in the Ramah. Ramah says it here? No, he does. One second. Was another Ramah say did the Yosef say that here? Yeah. So the Tur himself writes. The Tur writes, V'nagu lomar kodem lachen, before we say poseach. By the way, see, it's much easier to give a shiur on Ashrei because, again, there's actual, primary sources that discuss it, right? So the Tur writes, V'nagu lomar kodem lachen Ashrei yoshevei ve'secha. So we have the custom to say Ashrei before saying Ashrei, before saying Tehillah l'David, we have the custom of saying Ashrei yoshevei ve'secha, fortunate those who dwell in your house. Mishum d'yalfina minei, So it's an allusion to the fact that what? That the Gemara tells us that the Chasidim HaRishonim, basically we don't do tefillah right. You know, what does that mean? The Hasidim HaRishonim, the original, doesn't mean when the Talmud talks about the Hasidim. Doesn't mean Hasidim, right? It doesn't mean Hasidim like we call them today. Because how do we know that?
There were no Hasidim.
Right? Hasidim were created in the 1600s. The concept of Hasidus, the camp of Hasidus, the philosophy of Hasidus, was created or was discovered or was brought to light, however you want to say it, in the 1600s by the Baal Shem Tov and his students. So when it says Hasidim, it means pious ones. Similar to the fact that, so Rav Willig would say that in truth we all strive to be Hasidim. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go get long coats and furry hats and the like, but what it means is we have to strive to be pious. Similar, there's another word that is, in many communities, it's a bad word. What's that word? Charedim. Ooh, the Charedim. The truth is, Charedim is a play from the Navi, I believe, Yeshayahu. I remember Mordechai Willig, who would not necessarily consider himself Charedi by any means. He is one of the Rosh Yeshiva of YU. He says that we're all obligated to be Charedi. Charedi with a lowercase ches, right? Not Charedi as a title. Charedi, but we're all Charedi means trembling before God. Charedim lefnei dvar Hashem. Charedim ledvar Hashem. Those who tremble in the words of God, by the words of God. We're all obligated to be that, right? So when it says Hasidim Rishonim, means the original pious ones, those who took tefillah seriously. They wouldn't just show up to davening with 6:30. They wouldn't show up just at 6:30 to start davening. They would come at 5:30 for daf yomi, right? No, they'd come at 5:30 to prepare for davening. Right? They'd come out an hour before davening. Shah has called them to be lost. They'd come an hour before davening.
Is that an hour before davening or an hour before Shavuot Esrei?
So, okay, good question. So they come an hour before, maybe that's davening. So an hour before davening, and they'd stay, but here's the thing, get stuck, because they would stay an hour after davening too. So either way, it's at least a 2-hour process.
We do the same.
So
I left at 7:25 and we weren't finished.
You're just talking Shema. No. So this is Yigal's davening Pesuka de Zimri. So they would come an hour before. So out of deference to that, we say, as we're about to start again, remember, Tila L'David, as we mentioned already, this is the first time we're not saying that this is an introduction to something, because this is the main body. Tila L'David is the main body of Pesuka de Zimri. That and the five Hallelukas, the five praises of Hashem that follow, are the main part of Pesuka de Zimri. If one only has time to say a minimum, so they would say Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, the five Hallelukas, and then they would say Yishtabach. And again, if they have even less time, they would say Baruch Sha'amar, Ashrei, and Yishtabach. But you always have to have Ashrei in there, right? So because Ashrei, we're now actually getting to the part of davening that is, you know, this is the main praise of Hashem. So we, out of deference, we reference the fact that we're supposed to be sitting. Fortunate are the ones who sit before God, come an hour early to sit before God to start preparing for tefillah. That's what the Torah says. And the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo comments this paragraph. It's actually Gemara Maseches Brachos. Tanya Hamispalel, one who prays. So she Sha'achas Kodim Sheispalel. How do you know? And what's the source that one needs to sit an hour before praying to prepare for prayer? Dichsev Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha Od Yehaleluka Sela. That fortunate are ones who sit in the house and they will continue to praise God. And Rashi says there, Yoshvei Veisecha, first they sit in the house, V'hadar Yehaleluka, first they sit, and then they praise. So first they come, they settle themselves, they get ready for prayer, and then they praise Hashem. And says the Balei Tosfos, Lefichach Tiknu Lomar Zehapasek Kodem Tilul David. And that's why this prayer, this phrase, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, was chosen to come before the praise of Tehillah LeDavid. That is what the Gemara and the Tosfos say. That is the source of calling this Tefillah Ashrei, and it's the source of where we learn that the Hasidim Rishonim would come an hour before. Yes. Oh, okay. So that is one point. So another idea that is related, and this gets back to Mark's idea about a mindset, and this is brought down by Reb Schwab, and we'll come back to this idea in a little bit, that is that when we say Yoshvei Veisecha, so this isn't the only place we refer to this concept of sitting in the house of God, right? We say in the Tefillah of Ledavid, which is what we say from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Shmini Atzeres. So we say, Acha sha'alti me'etz Hashem, osa avakesh. So there's one thing that I ask from God, Shivti b'veis Hashem kol yimei chayai. Let me sit in the house of God all the days of my life, and then lachzos b'noam Hashem v'levakar b'eichalo, to dwell in His presence and to visit. Again, the famous question, do you want to sit or do you want to visit? And the answer given, you know, do you want to be a resident or do you want to be a visitor? Which is it? The answer is we need to take the best of both. A visitor, so a one who is regular is there regularly. He's not just in and out whenever he wants. But at the same time, we have that same excitement as a visitor who just comes to see it. Every time, you got to come in with that excitement. But the bottom line is we ask to be a resident, to dwell in Hashem's house. And that's what this idea of Ashrei is. As we're about to begin this process of praising Hashem, we want to get into a mindset of we are among those who come and make this their dwelling place, who make the house of God where they want to be. We'll get to why this is so important in just a little bit. Okay, so with that we conclude at least our introduction of Ashrei, of why Ashrei is chosen to be the introductory psukim to the Tehillel of David. Any questions so far on that? Okay, the next part's a little bit easier. And that is, why do we conclude with this pasuk of Anachnu Nevarachka Me'atave Adolam Haluka? So the Beis Yosef, the Torah writes, V'achav Nagu Lomar V'Anachnu Nevarachka, and on that, the Prisha, the Prisha writes, well, for the Prisha, the idea is because we're about to launch into the Hallelujah, so we want to start this theme of saying the word Hallelujah and saying Tehillim that have Hallelujah, right? We want to end Ashrei and kind of have a nice smooth transition into that. Now, the Prisha brings up a good point, and that is, let's see if anyone can get it. If, we'll get our thumbs out for this one. If the reason why we end Ashrei with V'anachnu Nevarachka Me'atav Adolam Hallelujah is because we're about to say the next five Hallelujahs, and it's not really part of Ashrei, Tehillel of David, we got to be more accurate now. So then, what should come from this? If the only reason in Shacharis we say Ashrei and we end it with V'anachnu Nevarachka Me'atav Adolam Hallelujah is because we're going to continue with Psukei Dezimra. So during Mincha, when we're not going to follow Psukei Dezimra, maybe we shouldn't end with this pasuk, right? If the whole purpose of the pasuk is supposed to be a jumping off point to the Hallelujahs, we don't say those Hallelujahs in Mincha. So the Prisha actually Vilfize. So the Prisha pasuk, we don't pasuk like this. Just interesting to note. Vilfize be Mincha ain lo mer klal. According to the Prisha, you say, sounds kind of funny, right? But that's how the Prisha would end it. Right? That's how the Prisha would do it. So the Kolbo argues and says, no, that's not the reason why we end with V'nachnu Nevarachka. We end with V'nachnu Nevarachka because of this principle of anyone who praises Hashem, who says this tefillah three times a day will merit to the world to come. That's why V'nachnu Nevarachka Me'atav Yad Olam, that if, since I said Ashrei, I will merit to continue praising Hashem from now and forever because I am muftach, I am assured of space in Olam Haba. So according to that reason, which is what we go with, that's why we would say it even by Mincha. But again, there's a nafgamina, a practical ramification of the difference of saying them.
Where's the source that somebody who says it three times
goes? So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says that, actually. The Gemara says... the Gemara in Bracho says, on the Aftal, the Gemara writes, Ha'omer Tilove Shalosh Pam, B'chol Yom Muftach Lo Ushu Ben Olam Haba. So we're going to get to that in a second, as to what does it mean. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. We're going backwards here. So now let's talk a little bit about Poseach Es Yadecha, right, which translates to... Of course, the Kohen has to give me difficulty here.
You open your hand?
Yeah. Where is it? You open your hand and satisfy every living thing with your favor. Okay? You open your hand, and that's why Sfaradim actually have a custom at this part to open their hands. This end during benching. So anyway, I'm an Ashkenazi trying to do Sfaradi. It doesn't work. Anyway, I'm gonna get canceled for cultural appropriation. But anyway. So, this tefillah, this prayer of this pasuk specifically requires special kavanah, special intent. In fact, the halacha is that if one says Ashrei, we said already, one has to have kavanah for Ashrei. What if I don't? What if I'm spacing out? I'm really distracted. So, Okay, but if I don't have kavana for poseach, the pasuk poseach es yadecha, I actually need to go back. I don't need to go back to the entire ashrei, but I need to go back to poseach es yadecha. I need to say it again and make sure I say it with kavana. In fact, there's a custom as well. It's in the Eretz Scroll Siddur that during this, when you say poseach es yadecha, you kiss your tzitzis to your tefillin. You kiss your tzvon shel rosh. But again, there's a special idea that one needs to have kavana for this. And the reason being, presumably, is because this is one of the most fundamental... Where does it say? It says it up top, And our scroll, they say the whole thing. Right. Anyway.
So it's distracting.
Fair point. Anyway, so this idea of recognizing that Hashem opens his hand, you open your hand and satisfy every living thing with your favor, is one of the most fundamental ideas that we have in our faith. That Hashem not only knows all of our needs, but provides for all of our needs. Now, the million-dollar question is this true? Oh, right? We see plenty of people and plenty of things that don't have what they need. People are destitute. People are poor. So how do we square the two together? So I'll tell you a story. Again, it was a story that definitely resonates with me as it relates to infertility. A very difficult story. Very, very difficult. You'll see what I mean. So there's a rabbi, Rabbi Shalom Arush. Anyone here Rabbi Shalom Arush? So Shalom Arush wrote the Garden of Emunah, or all those garden books. He's a Breslov Chassid. But he's a very, very successful Makariv, and brings people closer. He brings people closer to Judaism, a big, big tzaddik. So there's a story. I heard this on a video that someone posted on LinkedIn from Charlie Harari telling this story. Yes, it's like fourth hand at this point. So anyway, so the story goes like this. Shalom Arush was speaking somewhere, and a woman came to him at the end for a bracha. So what, how can I help you? So she says, my husband and I have been married for over 10 years, and we don't have any children. And it's getting to be unbearable. I cry myself to sleep every single night. I can't, she lives with the woman in Yerushalayim, so I can't walk near any of the parks in Yerushalayim. I just can't. So Shalom Arush says, I'll daven for you, bracha. But he says, there is something that maybe you can do. Forget it. He says, well, what is it? He says, it's not worth it. Tell me what it is. And he started screaming at him, like, what is it? He says, you're not going to do it anyway. It's too difficult. Just tell me, I promise I'll do it. So he says, okay. This is hard. This is not an easy pill to swallow. He says, I want you to go home. You want a skula? You want a bracha? I want you to go home, and every day, I want you to lock yourself in your room, and I want you to thank Hashem for not giving you children. She says, excuse me? Did you miss the first half of this conversation where I said that like it kills me every single day of my life that I don't have children? She says, excuse me, do you run the world? She said, no. She says, does he? Yes. Hashem runs the world. Do you think Hashem does anything for us that isn't in our best interest? We don't understand it. Of course we don't understand it. But do you think that anything happens to us that's not in our best interest on some sort of cosmic level? She says, okay, I'll do it. Every day to go home and thank Hashem for not giving me children. Now, this is where the story gets, where we have to be careful with the story. This story happens to have an happy ending, that within a year, Shalom Arush was the sandik at the bris of her son. Now, I'm not a Navi, I'm not a prophet, and I don't promise, I don't go on TV and say, oh, the Lord! I can't do that, right? But there's a big idea. There is a big concept here. And the point of the story is, and again, I'm not telling you that anything you want, just go home and thank Hashem for not having it. And Hashem, thank you for not letting me win the lottery this week, right? I don't think that's how it works. Again, so I'm not a big tzaddik enough like Shalom Arush to have, but I think that the point of the story is that no matter what we're going through in life, we have to recognize, and this is the idea, that in this world we say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, God is the true judge, when something sad happens, but in the next world we'll say only Baruch Atov VeHameitiv, Hashem is good and does good, because we'll be able to recognize. And again, you always have to be careful who you're saying this to, when you're saying this to. You know, you're not going to go to someone who just lost a close relative and say, hey, it's for the best. You know, like, you have to be careful how you speak to people. Always, sensitivity is the most important thing. But these are things that we say to ourselves when things are going okay, so that we can give ourselves chizuk and encouragement when things are going a little bit more rough. I'll tell you, I tried it this morning. It was difficult, but I thanked Hashem for my ankle hurting a lot and not being able to run the race. It was a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do. I was planning. It's much not to compare the two examples, Chas v'Shalom, in a million years. But again, it's recognizing this idea that Hashem gives us whatever we need. Hashem puts us in circumstances, whatever we need at the time. And again, Yeshua Hashem, the salvation of God, could come keharif ayin in a moment. In a moment. I can wake up tomorrow morning and my leg could feel 100% better and I'll be fine to run the race. And then Hashem could give me extra strength to be able to run a half marathon a week from tomorrow. Maybe. It could happen. I believe it could happen. But I have to believe it could happen. And it's not, again, not to make light of anyone's situation and to say, you know, I heard this story, I gulped about how this woman had to go home and do this, the pain that she must have had to endure to do something like this. But it's an important idea of recognizing, that's the idea of poseach ez yadecha, you open umazbiya l'chol chayrutza, and you give what everyone needs. You fulfill every living thing with your favor. Right? Sometimes we think we're in charge. I think we know what we should have when we ask for things. And if God says no, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. You know, that's every when we bench Rosh Chodesh, we end it with Hashem Yimala Mishalis Libenu Litova. Hashem fulfilled the desires of our heart for good. Because sometimes the desires of our heart are not good. Sometimes we want something that's totally bad for us. Right? I remember once I was talking to a friend, we were talking about when it was the first time, I don't remember what year it was. It must have been 2015, 2016, back when the Powerball was at 1.2 billion, like the first time that happened, and like it was a big craze, everyone was going crazy. And I remember talking to a friend, we were joking around about like, well, what would you give to your family? Like, what would you give to your siblings and stuff like that if you won? You know? So he says, I'd give them like $2 million each. I'm like, I just want $1 billion, give them $2 million. So he's like, no, I want to give them enough that'll give them a significant bump, a significant hand, but won't ruin their lives. Because my life is already over, right? You never have enough moment of peace. You know, sometimes we think, you know, it'd be great to win. I'm not saying it wouldn't be great to win. But not personally, but I know of big, big, very, very wealthy individuals who are big, big balei tzedakah, right? They give a lot of tzedakah. They can't go anywhere in public. Because people, I'll tell you, from what's his name? Rechnitz in L.A. Blank out his name. Shlomo Yehuda Rechnitz in L.A. Again, tremendous, tremendously wealthy individual. Him and his brother have a pharmaceutical supply company, like the latex gloves and stuff like that. They supply nursing homes and everything like that. Very, very wealthy. Very, very generous. Again, we're talking about individuals who give millions of dollars to Jewish institutions. You know.
Did they get an invitation to the dinner?
So the truth is, if you send him an invitation, he might send you $100. We always, he's on our Shastathon list. We don't know him. We just send him a thing. My brother, yeah, we get a check. But he doesn't know. It's his guy who gives, you know, signs the checks for him. But anyway, but he can't go play. Like, I remember he once like couldn't go to like a big dinner that was honoring his father-in-law, Rubelsky, because it was like people harass him wherever he goes. Because again, people asking for tzedakah, it's not an easy thing. So sometimes when we ask for that money, Hashem says, take my word for it. It's not good for you. So we have to trust that Hashem knows what's best for us. And we could say, and you could say, you could even say when you're thanking Hashem for your misfortunes, you could say, Hashem, this is really hard for me to say and I don't understand it, but thank you for doing this to me. The truth is, I'll be honest, I had a little bit of a sense of relief and I think my leg actually feels a little bit better. Not of a heebie-jeebie type. I think a lot of it's also a mental strain of like, I'm stressed out because my leg hurts and I wanted to write this. But like the stress went down a little bit because I recognized that whatever it is, who knows, maybe if I would have run the full marathon, I would have broken my leg. Maybe I would have tripped on mile 12 and you know, and then I wouldn't be able to walk for another couple months. I don't know. Right? So that's this idea of posech es yadecho masbiel l'chol chai rotzom. Everything we need, Hashem knows what we need. You have to have special kavana when you say that. Because if you say it quickly, it's just, really, to mean it. Hashem gives me whatever I need. Hashem gives me whatever I need. I don't know what I need. I know what I want. Right? As parents, we can all understand that. Wants versus needs, right? But sometimes we don't, right? And then that's the idea here. And then just another level of this, just saying another, giving another target to this. I remember once climbing, I was once, must have been 2013. I remember a hike to the top of a big mountain in upstate New York, in the Catskills, whatever it was. And I remember looking over, you know, sometimes you stand on these mountains, you see like the trees, the forest below, and it's just like a whole carpet of trees everywhere you go, where you look. And I remember thinking, how many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of like bugs and little critters are there in this forest that are getting everything they need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, posech es umasbiel l'chol chai rotzom. It doesn't say all people. It doesn't say everyone. It says everything. Umasbiel l'chol. L'chol chai. Everything that's living. Every little bug that has that's able to eat is all being supported by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's insane. You think how many people there are in the world, how many animals, how many creatures, how many little bacteria exist that we don't even know about because we're swallowing them every second of every day, and they're all getting everything they need to continue to exist. That's the power of posech es yadecho masbiel l'chol chai rotzom. Very, very powerful sentence. Sometimes we need to think about it a little bit more. Okay, last part. Last part is the three times a day. Okay, you say it three times a day, chik chak. You know, people use the joke that like if you make three shidduchim, every other, you make three shidduchim, you go straight to Olam Haba. You don't have to do any mitzvos, you don't have to do anything, you get that, you just go straight. Usually it doesn't really work like that. So what does it mean that if you say Ashrei three times a day, muftach lo shuvin Olam Haba? So I was talking to Rabbi Maman today, again from the Kollel, and he told me he heard from a friend of his once that it's pshuto kamashma, the simple explanation. You get to davening on time to say Ashrei. You stay till Ashrei at the end of davening, and you come back for mincha. So then you know you're a better. It's good to be a better Olam Haba. So that's a cute answer, but there are actually a couple different answers. The Gemara asks, why is this tefillah so significant that you're a better Olam Haba if you say it three times a day? Why do you have to have such kavana for it? So the Gemara gives two answers. The first one I don't fully understand. I tried finding an answer, but we'll say it the simple, and that's because it's said in the Aleph Beta. If you look in the alpha beta, right? If you look in the Siddur, so it's alph beis gimel daled hey vav, right? Except for what letter?
Nun.
Nun is missing because nun is the letter of nefila, of falling, and this is a tefila of ascent, of rising. So the letter nun is not in there. So number one is that it's written in the alphabet, and things that are written in the alphabet have significance, presumably because again, I think the idea is that when something is written in the alphabet, it is an opportunity for us to see it through every single lens. You know, that you know, for example, why is it at the end of the Seder, we say, who knows one, who knows two, who knows three? They're very tired. Even the kids are sleeping at that point. You know, my family's, you know, we always talk about, you know, family customs and like every family has their tunes. My family's tune was just fast. You know, when we got to that stuff, it was really every tune we did.
I use the same dosa.
So we always like, you know, we always joke at the Naomi's tunes are better, my tunes are faster. But that was my family's minhag. But anyway, why are we doing that? One, two, three, four, five, six. So the answer is because we're taking simple numbers that we encounter every day and we're applying ideas of emuna and faith into each number. That the idea being that we can look around the world and everything we look at, we can see Hashem's presence in. What's one? Well, one could be one hot dog that I ate today. No, one is Hashem. What's two? Two is two. No, two is... right? The luchos, right? Three is the avos. Every number, we have an association with the Torah. So maybe that's the idea of the aleph beis as well, that it's every aspect of every letter we start with, we look at that. But the Gemara also says that perhaps the reason is because poseach es yadecha, right? Because the reason why it's so significant is because, again, one who says poseach es yadecha and really has this mentality three times a day is a muftach shul ben olam haba. To tie this idea together, Rav Schwab actually points out that really two of the ideas we spoke about. Number one is the Ashrei mentality of being Yoshve Veisecha, of sitting in Hashem's house, recognizing that we're always ready to praise Him at any moment. And this idea of Poseach HaZadech, of always keeping that mentality. So three, when it comes to tefillah, has a significance. And that is, we know that there are three tefillahs in the day. Shacharis, Mincha, Maariv. That wasn't a trick. Right? Avram established Shacharis, Yitzchak established Mincha, and Yaakov established Maariv. What does that mean? So if you think of them, so each of these moments have its own, these time periods have its own significance. Shacharis, which is when the sun is rising. And I don't know what's going to be at the end of, you know, when the day hits the top. But as the day is rising, I look and I see all the potential the day is going to bring, and I praise Hashem. Shacharis. Mincha, the days we're coasting, right? We're at the pinnacle of the day, the high point of the day. Everything's looking great. I praise Hashem. So when I look at the potential, I praise Hashem. What's going to be? When I'm at the pinnacle, I praise Hashem. And Maariv, when it's starting to get dark, and it's starting to get, we're getting a little more doubt, a little bit of unsure what's behind the next corner. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow, right? What do? We praise Hashem. It's the idea of three, that at every moment, whether things are going on the way up, things are in their golden age, or things are a little bit unclear, our response is always the same. Poseach es yadecha umazbi alachol charetzon. When things are going well, sometimes it's easier to remember poseach es yadecha, that Hashem gives us everything we need. Sometimes it's easier to remember when things are going badly, unfortunately. When we turn to Hashem and say, please give me what I need. We forget when things are going well, and all of a sudden everything's going great, and I forget. Right? The famous joke, that a guy was once, he was heading to, and I told the joke already. Looking for a parking spot in New York City. Right? And he's driving around, and he says he's late for these guys. 15, half an hour, minutes. He left plenty of time, and he can't find the spot. He has a big meeting at half an hour. So he says, God, please, if you give me the spot, find me a spot, I'll start keeping Shabbos. Circles around, 15 minutes, no spot. 15 minutes to the meeting. God, if you find me a spot, please, I'll start keeping kosher. No spot. With 5 minutes left, God, please, you know, if you, 2 minutes left, you, God, if you find me a spot, I'll keep every single mitzvah in the Torah. I'll do everything. All of a sudden, right in front of the building, a spot opens up. The guy says, never mind, I got it. Right? So sometimes, again, when things are going well, we forget that it's poseach es yadecha. We don't see the signs, right? So whether things are going well, things are at the high point, or things are going south, or unsure, moments of lack of clarity, we need to have this mentality. And that's why, again, although the ashrei, we don't say ashrei at night for Maariv, Schwab explains that's the significance of the three times a day. It's referring to the three different points of the day. The three different points of the day that we always have to keep this mentality. That Hashem gives us everything we need. Everything we need. And then if we get this mentality in mind, that's why this is the preparation for tefillah. Because now, we're going to move from this into the conclusion of Psukah Dezimra. Again, we still have a little bit of ways to go. But then into Shema, which is the biblical obligation. And Shemona Esrei, where we ask for all of our needs. Once I acknowledge that God is the one who gives me everything I have, everything I, right? So then when I say the words Rifa'enu, Hashem, please heal me. Give me health. I've already got it kind of, you know, stuck in my head that, yeah, Hashem is Taka, the only one who can give me help. That's why Ashrei is one of the most primary and important aspects of tefillah, because it sets the tone for the rest of the davening moving forward.
Are there any other lines in the prayers that you're obligated to repeat if you space out, like potato.
Specifically in Ashrei or in general? So there is the idea of the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. One has to have particular kavanah for that.
And what about the
Shema? For Shema, yeah, you have a biblical obligation for Shema as well. So really it's poseach es yadecha, the first pasuk of Shema, and the first bracha of Shemona Esrei that you have to have kavanah, you know, intense kavanah for. But we'll talk about those a little bit later. There are other points. Maybe we'll just end with this. That I once heard from Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, and he said like this: he has his own unique read in a pasuk. I don't think it's pshat, but I think it's a nice idea. So he says like this: if you look at the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up at the bottom, Karav Hashem lechol karav lechol asher yikra'uhu be'emes. So the Lord is close to all who call on Him, and to all who call on Him in truth. So presumably, the simple explanation of this, the pshat, is that if one calls to God in truth, in earnest, so then Hashem will answer them, or Hashem will accept their prayer. But he wanted to explain as follows. He says, it depends where you put the comma. Karav Hashem l'chol karav, as a question mark. Is Hashem really close to all those who call out to Him? L'chol asher yikra'uhu, to all those who call out, kama, be'emes. Absolutely. It's truth. That no matter who we are, no matter where we are, no matter where we are in life, no matter what we're going through, we call out to Hashem, and He's there for us. That's truth. That's emes. We can never forget that. And that's why it's coupled with the idea of poseach es yadecha. The ideas all go together. Davening is completely predicated on this notion of the recognition that God is the ultimate supplier of all. We should be zocha. A, I hope tomorrow morning's Ashrei has a little more significance. But to be zocha, to really keep these ideas in mind. So important. Such an important mentality. And again, when we apply it, you will feel the weight lifted off our shoulders. We recognize that we don't necessarily control anything. We control what we do. We control our status, but ultimately it's up to Hashem to do the rest. So, wishing everybody a wonderful evening.
Thank you.
And again, we are off next week, but we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem the following. Okay.